When you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your head because your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's coming soon. I'm going to return to this subject of who has a God like our God. And I don't want to be redundant and repetitive, but yet I'm going to be repetitive without being redundant. Praise God. Amen. We need to get this. We need to get it deep within us. I'm going to submit to you today that you would not be here in this room today, not just because that you have great faith and you have great strength in yourself. You are what you are today. If you're standing today, someone is holding you up. Amen. 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 Somebody's holding you up. Amen. You are not standing on your own two feet. If you think you are the next one to fall. Amen. For when a man says, "Behold, I stand," he better take heed. You're on dangerous ground. No matter what your accomplishments, spiritual experiences. Paul had spiritual experiences, as I said before, that would make the average Pentecostal say, "I have arrived. There's nowhere else to go. This is the ultimate." Amen. He had religious qualifications that would put any Jew to shame. Nobody could hold higher qualifications than Paul had. A Jew of the Jews, of the tribe of Benjamin. Amen. Circumcised the eighth day according to the law. Amen. Concerning the law, he said, while we're talking about that, I'm blameless, which he was wrong about that. But in his self-righteous state at that point, he thought that he had arrived at that place. He was a member of the most prestigious religious body of the day, a leadership body, the Sanhedrin. He had everything, and he said, "The things that I once counted gain to me, I count them as loss. I count them as but done, that I may know and win Jesus Christ." He had spiritual experiences to go along with religious qualifications. After he truly came to Christ and got saved, he had a miracle of his eyes, who had beheld the glory, that Shekinah that attends his goodness, his person. He saw that glory, and hallelujah, his eyes, it was wonderful to see the glory. Only one problem: it left him blind, completely blind. He had to go to a Christian and humble himself and receive prayer from a Christian brother that would cause his eyes to come open. And then he had experiences that just mind-boggling experiences. "I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I know not, but such a one was caught up into third heaven, and I saw things I can't even utter." Amen. Hallelujah. I've been there. Praise the Lord. Amen. He saw God move in his ministry and power, and such power when he preached that in Greece on Mars Hill, when Paul preached, the power of God was so manifest that they said, "The gods have come down to us in the form of men." And Paul began to open his garment and declare, "I'm flesh and blood, and I refuse to touch the glory that belongs to God and God alone." You know not what you worship. You're all confused about your many concepts of God. He said, "We know what we worship." Can you say, man, we know our God? And he was making that God known to them, the true and the living God. Yeah. Hallelujah. So this desire to know the Lord, and who has a God like our God? What is he known for? What is he known for more than parting Red Seas? What is he known for more that is beyond all of the works and really behind all of those works? It's not just the cross. You've got to look beyond the cross. You say, "Is there anything beyond the cross?" Yes, there is. There's a revelation of a God who loved you so much that he would give in terms of offering his son to die in our place. Not just send him down here to work some miracles, to give us some teachings. He was sent when it said, "For unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given." Given. It means given up as a sacrificed lamb to take your place and mine on the cross. A son is sacrificed. A son is offered up as a sacrifice to suffer and die so that we could be forgiven. Unto you a child is born. and unto you a son is given up to die. Jesus said it himself, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. And if you think that you can praise God loud enough and long enough to lift him up enough in that sense of magnifying his name to cause men to come to Christ, you're very mistaken. The lifting up he was talking about is when he was hanging on the cross. If I be lifted up from the earth, if I be suspended on a cross, a cruel cross, I will bridge that gap between a holy God and sinful, rebellious man that is fallen. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's why the preaching of the cross to them that are lost is still foolishness. Amen. The Greeks, it just wasn't intellectual enough. To the Jews, it wasn't spiritual enough. But to us who are saved, we understand it. We get it. We grasp it. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. You know what I believe we need today? I believe we need people preaching the cross again. You say, but that's a repetitive message. You bet it is. Amen. It is supposed to be repeated. Amen. We're supposed to never forget it. Every communion Sunday, we're supposed to go right back at the bottom of the cross and look right up to Jesus dying for us. It's what keeps the first love burning. Can you say amen? It's what brings the sinner to salvation. It saved in the first century, and it will save in the 21st century. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. That's why Paul said, He had the intellect to talk about a whole lot of things and get into deep theologies, but Willie said it, keep it simple. I don't think Paul added the stupid part, but it's pretty stupid not to keep it simple. Pretty foolish not to keep it simple. You say, well, you're preaching to the choir. I know, but when the choir gets filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with the first love, the choir becomes a soul-winning choir. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When your life makes a difference, when mine makes a difference, when we have the joy of our salvation, and we encounter people in our world all the time, and we have enough of God and enough of understanding, whom having not seen you love, with what joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. What a difference it makes to grasp anew and afresh just what it means to have a son given. For unto you a child is born. And the moment that child was born, God gave. Because it wasn't going to end until he was on the cross. And until God's wrath burned out in him in our behalf. I try to encourage people to come to church and to serve God and to follow him. There's no way in the world, if you don't ever appreciate what he's done for you on Calvary, enough to serve him, that I can do anything or say anything more. It's all about the cross. Paul said the reason the world doesn't win over me, he said, is because I am crucified to it. It is crucified to me. Can you say amen? And he said, I don't want to know anything among you. I don't want to know anything among you. Everybody wants somebody to preach what is their particular, peculiar thing. Can you say amen? He said, you keep it to yourself. I know the message that will set the captive free. I know the message that will not only save the lost, but I know the message that will bring the church into a burning, flaming, first love following of Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I don't want to know anything among you but Jesus and him on that cross. Jesus and him crucified. Amen. I wasn't there because I had other things I just had to go do. I was at when they started the birthday celebration, the actual celebration. But Willie made a plea. If you come to church Sunday, you'll hear a message on the cross. You'll hear a message on the cross that will change your life. I'm glad that if we have a reputation for preaching something repetitively, can you say, man, it's Jesus and him crucified. Amen. I never get... Oh, I never get tired of that. When my pastor used to come on radio when I was healed of cancer and I began to realize what a good God this was, and I didn't want to just listen to the Lone Ranger or Big John and Sparky on. You don't remember those folks, I'm sure. Amen. We didn't have Cartoon Carnival. You have to look at that. All we had was the radio shows. But I remember on Saturday morning before those kids shows come on for this kid that had been healed of cancer. Amen. And I begin to want to know something about this God. And I listen to my pastor on the radio, my daddy's pastor on the radio. I remember the song. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story. It's going to be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Here I am today, Sister Dale, still telling the old. Oh, I never dreamed that I would be a preacher and I would be telling the story. All of these years later, can you say amen? Some people come to Christ, some do not. But I'm going to keep telling the story of Jesus and his love. Some people follow him and some go back. But I'm going to keep telling the story of Jesus and his love. Because if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. When I first read the scripture, Brother Taylor, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and go into the highway and hedge and compel them to come in. Now here's an invitation right here. The Holy Church of God, we invite you to worship with us, learn with us, grow with us. That's just to introduce us to them. So maybe they won't lock the door and pull the blinds when they see us coming. Maybe they'll say, that's probably them. I saw them put something on my door. Amen. However God leads that. And I thought, compel them to come in. Compel them. Compel them. Well, go out there and just tell them, you're lost. You need Jesus. Now come on, man. Save your soul. That don't work with you. That didn't work with me. Jesus never got a follower that way. Can you say amen? You know what is the most compelling thing about the gospel? The love of God. The grace of God. And the mercy of God. I heard Billy Graham speak years ago. And I heard an excerpt from him speaking in Holland. By the way, I appreciate what he said in Holland. A Congress on world evangelism. So it was stationed in Holland, but people came from all the nations to see how to better evangelize the world. And he told the story about what we needed to reach other people, to be faithful witnesses, effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. And he said, of course we need the zeal. We need to keep the Great Commission. We need to catch the vision for that in our heart. And that's why we have reached beyond the walls down through the years. And God gave me a vision for radio. And God gave the radio a vision for us. We're on the air because they have a vision too. Betty has a vision of what this ministry can do. Amen. Through the radio station. We appreciate that. Appreciate Doug catching the vision for the world. And putting the website up there and maintaining it and sustaining it and keeping it fresh to where you find something new and engaging every single time that you go there. But he said you need more than the vision. You need not just passion. Vision will give you passion. You need to love people. You need compassion. There's a difference between passion and compassion. Passion means I'm going to preach with everything within me. Compassion means because I love you so much and God loves you so much. When Jesus saw sheep without a shepherd, he was moved with compassion. Compassion means to have the bowels to yearn over. He hurt for them. He knew where they were headed and he wanted to head them off before they got to their eternal destiny. A banishment and punishment. And Jesus said, pray out of compassion the Lord of the harvest that he would send. This is more than passion. This is compassion. Can you say amen? That he would send what? Laborers into the field. For the fields are plenteous, but the laborers are few. There are very few people with enough compassion on others to share the gospel in love. Amen. That would bring them in, that would draw them to Jesus. Amen. An associate, he said, a Billy Graham association, was asked to speak at a college. And these were mainly they didn't do this because they wanted to be evangelized. They just wanted, you know, like they have speakers at colleges, and colleges are known for their really atheistic, intellectual, scientific approach to everything. And the gospel doesn't hold, seem like much meaning to many highly educated people until they really get down to the wire. And then many of them begin to look for something other than what science can offer them. But anyway, this associate of Billy Graham, so he ministered, he shared the gospel and the Christian faith, and he did it biblically, he did it knowledgeably, he did it passionately, because he's committed to that truth, and he wanted to see somebody open up, and everybody was just mute. No one responded, except one young lady who was vehemently opposed to the authenticity of the Bible, to the credibility of Jesus, and to the whole concept of religion. Why does man need that crutch? And at the end of the service, he kind of prayed a prayer over, you know, if anyone needs Christ, and no one came to Jesus. The last person to shake his hand, they were at least nice enough to want to shake his hand and thank him for coming. The last person was the one young lady that had been so verbal, so vocal, and so anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-Scripture. And she told him, she said, I don't mean to be offensive, but I just can't swallow this, and blah, blah, blah. And he said, I understand. He said, can I do one thing for you before you leave? And she said, okay. He said, may I pray for you? May I just pray for you? She said, okay. Her eyes are open. His eyes are closed. She just stand there with her eyes open, letting him pray his little prayer so she can go on about her business, feeling very satisfied that, you know, I have stated my case. I am right and they're wrong, and that's it. But something happened while he was praying. While he was praying, Lord, please. And you know, it's not just open her eyes. Just, Lord, touch her in a way that she will come to know you. Because sometimes you're praying, Lord, open their eyes, means get them to see from my perspective. Well, it's not seeing from your perspective. It's meeting the Lord for themselves. Not agreeing with you. After you were illuminated, you had to be illuminated. Nobody could do that. You didn't just buy into somebody's argument, Bible, biblically based argument. You were illuminated. After you were illuminated, flesh and blood did not reveal Jesus to you. There may have been a flesh and blood preacher proclaiming it, but only the Holy Spirit could open your eyes and let you see it. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. That's what Jesus said. Listen, the gates of hell, the god of this world, the rulers of darkness in high places, the god of this world has blinded the minds of men, lest they would what? Be illuminated and see what? The glory of the gospel and their lost condition simultaneously, and say, I'm not going to be lost with an offer of salvation as great as this. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't have to beg them to Christ or promise them a Mercedes if they come to Christ. They run to the cross. They embrace it. As he prayed for her, the compassion of Christ began to come through him. With his eyes closed, tears began to run down this theologian's cheeks. Now it was no longer an intellectual engagement and swordsmanship. Let me convince you. Let me get you an intellectually agreement with me. And it wasn't intelligence or ingenuity The Spirit of God was wanting to embrace this young woman that was so lost and so darkened. And she saw tears running down his cheeks. And her heart opened. And when the heart opened, the light flooded in. And right there she fell to her knees, accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and personal Savior. And he thought the whole thing was a washout. And yet the one that was the hardest nut to crack, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost cracked. Praise God. And it wasn't because of someone winning the argument. It was because someone loved someone. And God loved through that person. And it melted that hardened heart. And it opened up that darkened mind. And she told him through tears. She said, it's not what you said initially that convinced me. It's what you did. She said, I am 25 years old. No one. And see this, I don't know what her background was, but God knew exactly what that woman needed. Amen. He knew. He knew her background. He knew, amen, how to get into that area of her life that she had closed off and hardened to. She said, no one has ever shed a tear for me in my whole life. For 25 years, I've never seen anybody shed a tear for me. Said, you were weeping for me. And that's when she opened her heart to Christ. Praise God. Compassion, grace, mercy. There's nothing like it in all of the world. It is not condoning sin to have compassion on sinners. Amen. Being sanctified doesn't mean that you don't interact with people that you disagree with. It means that you do interact. Amen. But you sustain your righteous standing with God. Dale, you met some people on your journey that we probably would say, ew. And then you met some people that we'd probably say, I can't believe that person has issues. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody has issues. And whatever we are today, we are by the grace of God. Jesus was moved with compassion. And he said, that's why that I want the labors and the harvest. He was moved with compassion. They begin to bring the sick from every quarter and every corner. And he saw the lame and the halt and the blind. He saw them bringing them on stretchers. And the Bible said again, he was moved with compassion. Can you say amen? Everybody say he was moved with compassion. And he began to heal them. Amen. And you know one of the reasons he healed that you might know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. He said to the man that was sick, rise, take up your bed and walk. But what precedes that? What is it about the person of God? What is it that touches his heart so deeply? Amen. Initially, he was moved with compassion. That's why, amen, the Bible said we don't have a high priest that can't be touched with the feeling. It's because of this love, this compassion in his heart. Can you say amen? Listen to me. Today, the devil's wedge against your faith, his work against your faith, is to try to convince you that God doesn't love you. He doesn't care for you. He somehow or another, you haven't met the grade to receive his love, and therefore you cannot believe him. There's no need. Why don't you throw in the towel? Why don't you just give up? Why don't you just quit? We don't serve a God like that. That is not the God of the Bible. That is not Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? It's not the true church. People will quit you. People will quit you. Church people don't have any problem quitting you. Make no mistake about it. They can quit you. They cannot care if you eat, if you're clothed, if you're sick. They wouldn't know you were dead unless they're just reading the obituary. We got a lot of growing to do. My wife said the other day, said, if we were not here, but my mama's, you got, how many mamas are with the Lord? How many daddies are with the Lord? How many got uncles and aunts with the Lord? Brothers and sisters with the Lord? Wow. I'm part of a shrinking family as far as my personal family. I've got a son that lives in a garage apartment. He has a mental disability. He is on disability because of mental disability. He's sweet as he can be, but he needs my help. He can't be a help to me. So I'm a caregiver to my son. I take care of everything that he needs because he can't do it himself. He doesn't drive. He doesn't do all those other things because of a mental disability. What happened to him? No one knows. Something happened. Whether he was born with it. I remember one incident when we tried to work with a doctor and a psychologist to figure out because of the situation with Matt. He's sweet as he can be. He's a nice guy. But he has these issues that you don't see, but I deal with. And it's not bad. It's just that he needs help and will continue to need help because of his disability. And one time when he was about, I don't know, just a toddler, we had him in a playpen under an oak tree, and he was doing really fine. A few little toys and some apple juice, and he's, you know, hanging on the edge. He's not crying. He's enjoying the breeze, and we keep looking at him periodically. And one time I looked out the screen door of my wife's grandmother's home, and I looked into that playpen just to see how he was doing. Nothing to bother him looked like, and he was turning completely blue. I could tell that he was choking on something, and he had gotten one of those acorns that had fallen out of the tree into that playpen. It had lodged in his throat, and he had turned completely blue. How long he had been without oxygen, I have no idea. But I went out and grabbed him by his feet, held him upside down, and hit him on the back, and it dislodged that acorn. And he breathed again. We didn't take him to the hospital because everything seemed to be fine, but there was kind of a consensus that depending on how long the brain had been deprived oxygen, it could have done some damage in that area. Now, God can heal him completely and raise him up. God, there's nothing impossible with God, but God has taken us on a journey. Amen. God has taken us on a journey. And so I need grace in my life because I don't have that kind of support from a son or a daughter or brothers. And my uncles are with Christ. I baptized my uncle just before he died in Kentucky. My other uncle who died in a car accident came to Christ in one of our Wednesday evening services about 6 weeks before he went out of this world very quickly. My uncles are with the Lord. My aunts and my aunts, they're all with the Lord. Can you say amen? They're with the Lord. I don't have brothers. I don't have sisters. So my support group as far as Christian family, or it's just not there. You know where my support group is in Pamela's? It's right here. It's right here. When I had a stroke, who prayed? You guys. We didn't call Tulsa. There's praying people in Tulsa. My dad called Tulsa. My dad said, I called that prayer line. I forget whose it was. It wasn't, not to cast aspersions, but probably. But anyway, some young lady had a script to pray because it gives you a little more courage if you don't be totally led to the Spirit. And I said, Dad, did you call? Because he said, I called. He said, they didn't pray like you pray. I said, well, did they pray? Yeah, they prayed, but some young lady, she just prayed some little old prayer and hung up. He was wanting one of them prayers. I remember Vep Ellis. It wasn't Vep Ellis. It was Bob DeWeese. One of the. I don't know if Bob's still around or not. One of the co-workers of Billy Graham. Bob DeWeese, I think. He may be with the Lord now. Anyway, he went in the hospital with a major heart attack. His daughter, you've heard me tell this, asked Oral to come and pray for him. And Oral came, and he went in, and he wasn't under the tent, and there wasn't that powerful healing anointing. So he just went in, and he laid hands on him and said, Father, because you know you're in a hospital, you want to kind of keep it. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch him, heal him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. And I ask this in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus Christ. And he started walking out, and the daughter that knew how critical her dad was, she met him in the hall afterwards. She's waiting outside. She's very serious. She said, Oral, would you do something for me? And he said, yes, what? I mean, what could it be? I came, I prayed for your daddy. What do you want? He said, would you pray one of those prayers like you pray in the tent? Come on, there's a difference. There's a difference. And Oral Roberts himself, he said, I knew exactly what she meant. She said, I went back in the room, I shut the door, and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, heal my brother from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That man got up 3 days later. He went home and lived about 3 or 4 more years. Hallelujah. Praise God. They're saying a prayer is not the same as praying a prayer. Can you say amen? And telling somebody about Jesus is not the same that letting the love of Christ flow to that person. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. We haven't done so good. We don't get high marks on even loving each other, let alone a lost and dying world. But I believe the Holy Spirit wants to change that. I don't know about you needing me, but I sure enough need you. Amen. I need your prayers. I need your support. Hallelujah. I never think of calling anywhere else. Ruth is an intercessor. There are others here that intercede. I'm glad somebody knows how to, what they used to say, shake them old prayer bones. Amen. There was a grandma in Middlesboro, Kentucky, and she was known for only one thing. And they all knew her all over town. When the doctor scratches his head, when he walks away, call grandma so-and-so. Call her up, because they knew she was a woman of prayer. Call her. Amen. Doctor wrings his hands, walks away. Hospital staff said, we've done all we can do. They'll even say it's up to a higher power. They're in the hands of God if they've got any Christian background. But it takes more than just acknowledging God and His will and purpose. Somebody needs to intercede. Somebody needs to pray. I meet with 4 preachers, and one of those guys said, if I ever need prayer, I want you to pray with authority. Come on, I knew what he was saying. He said it to all of us. If I'm ever in a crisis of health or anything, marriage, whatever it is, if I'm going through something that is critical, that I need an answer, I want you to pray with authority. In other words, I don't want you to say a prayer. I want you to pray. Hallelujah. Amen. With authority. With authority. With authority. Because if it's critical, you get an answer. You don't want some to just use eloquent, soothing words. You want someone to touch the throne of God. Hallelujah. 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 And it's not the volume that I'm using right now. But it is when faith rises up, something clicks in. Amen. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. We don't tell this gospel as if it's a fairy tale that we don't even fully believe. We declare the truth of God with authority. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The Bible is the inerrant. Inspired word of the living God. Holy men wrote when they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And God still honors. honors it enough today to tell us in his word that heaven will pass away, earth will pass away, but my word will abide forever and forever. Hallelujah. You know what churches, many of them are crying out for? Some churches you can't even qualify for unless you have a doctor's degree in theology. The church is too big. It's just too big to not have. I preached in a big church with a $1 million sanctuary. I looked at that building and thought, man, if we had that building in our people. We look pretty strange in there because it's a huge building. But you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? Because it was different. They were so, you know. I mean, the things that they put the priority on. When I preached there, it wasn't. They enjoyed the ministry, but they wanted me to be more prestigious pastor. Wasn't enough. Just a pastor, evangelist coming. No, he. So when the head deacon came to me at work and he said, they really want you to come back and preach again. I said, really? He said, yeah. They asked me every now and then, when's Dr. Venable coming back? So what they had done, they had said, let's call him Dr. Venable. So if he comes back and people say, who's coming to preach this Sunday? Everybody say, Dr. Venable's coming. Amen. See, it was the degree. It's the moniker. It's the title. It's not the man and the ministry and the anointing. But you know what has happened? There's a shift that's come. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association said we get letters all the time. And said, pray for us that God will send us pastors that don't know too much Greek. Not enough Greek means you can't accurately convey the truth of God. Too much dependence on your knowledge of theology can move you away of a dependence on the Holy Spirit, who is the only one that can illuminate the sin-darkened mind. Can you say amen? We are in the flesh. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or of the flesh, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Where are those strongholds? Listen to the rest of it. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We can't win an intellectual argument, but the Holy Spirit can illuminate the sin-darkened mind. For the God of this world has blinded the minds of men, lest they would what? Be illuminated and see. And by the way, once you're illuminated yourself, you do not speak just because it's biblically so, because your intellect has come into consent with it. You speak from a standpoint of absolute knowledge and assurance of the truth. You speak with a conviction that cannot be shaken. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter, who do you say I am? Some say you're Elijah. Some say I'm this. But who do you? And he didn't ask a theologian. He asked a fisherman. He asked an old fisherman. He might have looked a little like you. You remind me of old. I don't mean old in years. I'm just talking about, you know, you kind of sunbaked a little bit there. Anyway, you've been out there fishing a lot. You fish a lot? Once in a while. Yeah. When you can. You could have been a Peter. There's no doubt about it. You could have been a Peter. Amen. Instead of turning to the guy that's been studying theology all his life, he said, but who do you say I am? The fisherman. Oh, by the way, there was a physician there. very intellectual guy. A physician is there. There's a lawyer there. Tax collector's there. Who does he go to? The fisherman for the answer. Because he wants you to know this is not about your IQ, your intellect. This is about the Holy Ghost revealing someone to you. He said, who do men say I am? Peter said, boy, they speculate, they surmise, and they submit their opinions. You're Elijah, come back. You're this, you're that. Who do you say that I am? And Peter, without missing a beat, listen to how this fisherman talks. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It must have shocked Peter that he could speak that with that kind of convincing conviction in the presence of people with higher intellects and better religious backgrounds. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he turned to Peter and said, thou art Peter. And the word, here's that Greek that you don't use too much of, Petros. Thou art Peter. Petros, thou art Petros, which means little pebble, little rock. Whole church built their whole church on Peter as the rock. He's not the rock, he's the pebble. Thou art Petros, but upon this Petra, granite mountain. Everybody say pebble. Granite mountain. Pebble. Granite mountain. Woo. Upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church. He said, Peter, number one, what you just said, flesh and blood, did not reveal this unto you, but my Father in heaven. How does he do it? Holy Spirit. Can you say, man, when he, the Holy Spirit, is come, he will guide you into all truth. When that girl's heart was broken because of the compassion of this man praying, that heart opened. That sin-darkened mind opened. Amen. And when that mind opened, that heart opened, the light flooded in. Can you say, man, she didn't listen to what he said about Jesus, but suddenly there she was. Hallelujah. Seeing what we see. Glory to God. Believing what we believe and receiving the one that we receive. To go from an intellectual state of absolute adamant hardening against the gospel to a receiving of Jesus Christ and a testimony to that effect. Hallelujah. Who did that? God had to do it. Flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father which is in heaven, and upon this rock, what rock? The revelation of Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. I'm going to build my church. And because she's built on a revelation, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Because it can't be shaken. Can you say amen? Woo! I know whom I have believed. Woo! And I am persuaded because of that knowledge that he's able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. Can you say amen? There's a day coming. There's a day coming. There's a day coming when Robert Venable is going to have to breathe my last. But when that day comes, I am absolutely convinced, praise God, that he's able to keep what I've committed unto him. Hallelujah. There's a day coming when I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not the great white throne. I'm convinced I'm going to be nowhere around. How do you know, Brother Venable? Because when I got saved, it's just like when you got saved. Something occurred. God acknowledged you as his child. God acknowledged you as his own. And your name was put down in a book. And it's called the Lamb's Book of life. And the only people at the great white throne are the people whose names were not found written in the Lamb's book of life. And with all of the power that we have over demons and devils and the minions of hell through the name of Jesus, even though devils were crying and coming out, he said, don't rejoice because demons are subject to you. Rejoice rather that your name's written down in heaven. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But rejoice over that. Rejoice over that. Rejoice over that. Rejoice over that. They got horses and chickens right back here. Sometimes I hear that rooster crowing. I think of Peter hearing the rooster crow at dawn. And feeling like dirt. Denying his Lord. Verbally, vocally swearing with an oath. And saying, I never knew this man. And I think of Jesus on the shore after the resurrection. Cooking fish for tired, beleaguered, scared, depleted disciples, disappointed and disillusioned. And when Peter appears, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord. That Jesus would approach him that way with compassion and mercy instead of accusation and judgment melted his heart. He fell in love with Jesus. We love him. What stimulates it or should? Because he first loved us. And I don't think you'll ever love him back. That's not the initial thing he wants. He wants you to accept by faith his love for you. It's a hard thing to do. Getting God's forgiveness is not the hard thing. Forgiving ourselves is the hard thing. Bible said when we come now after the blood has been applied, our conscience needs to be sprinkled from evil. We're not talking about your sinful past. We're talking about your memories of your sinful past. Thinking about your unworthiness. Don't let the devil pull you into that trap. There's a commercial for Dove soap. If you want to type in on YouTube, the Dove commercial. It's really good. I'm going to use it sometime right here. If I ever preach a sermon on seeing yourself through God's eyes. Because people don't look at you like God sees you. Because people don't love you like he loves you. People love their kids. They bring a baby. And he just... Babies when they're brand new. I know they're beautiful to people who love them. But if you want to be objective about it, those little red wrinkled up things, brown, red, whatever, little old wrinkled up, look like Cabbage Patch children. But mama don't see that. You know what they found out about people? You know what they did? Let me finish the Dove commercial. It's really neat, Dave. Women probably are more pressured to look a certain way in society than men. You know, women are just, you know, society wants women to always be beautiful. And God always looks at the inside, but that's not our culture. So they got a forensic guy that he works with police departments. If they don't have a picture of somebody, but somebody was an eyewitness, you can sit down and start describing this person, and he will draw. What is that drawing called? There's a name. A sketch. He's a sketch artist. But he does it. He only works with police departments. He's good at it. I tell you what he looks like. He will draw him, and the features will match when they catch up with these people. He's extraordinary with them. So they brought a lady in. There's a screen here between him. You can see a shadowy figure. They brought a lady in and sit down. He said, describe yourself to me. So she began to describe herself. My mama always said my chin was a little pointed, and I do have a kind of a prominent nose. And she's telling about herself. And so what he does, he sketches her. And it's amazing because there is a likeness. And then he sends her out into the hall. They never meet. She goes out in the hall. And there's a lady out there that meets her, shakes hands with her, looks her up and down, comes and sits down in the same chair. Said, "Now I want you to describe this woman to me." And she describes that woman. And now he's got two portraits. The woman's description of herself, and this lady that just is very honest, describes her. And then they bring the lady back in. And they tell her what has happened. "This is you describing yourself to me, and I drew what you described. And this is what this lady who's never met you described." Guess what? There's stress. There's exaggerated features that really don't exist. There's a very sad, kind of depressed-looking lady on one side. And on the other side, there's a woman with pretty eyes, with pretty features. And the lady's tears are just streaming down her face. Because the way she was seeing herself was not the truth about herself. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible said all these different sins that we've committed and that are being committed, and such were some of you. But now, hallelujah, you are sanctified. You are washed first. You are sanctified, and you are justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. God looks at you now entirely differently than you saw yourself. He loves you. And that's why he gives you what? That sin brings ashes, destruction to our life. He said, "I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. The oil of joy, amen, for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The oil of joy for mourning." And you saw this lady with tears running down her cheeks. And suddenly a smile comes and it enlightens her face. And she says, I'm not like I see myself. I'm not like I am. It doesn't mean that you're now Cheryl Teagues, that you're now some major model. That's not what it's all about. It's about understanding, amen, the love of God and the transforming power that the blood of Jesus makes in our life. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's just the power of his love. We're getting ready to close, but hang on just for a moment. Look, I'm going to read it again. It's repetitive. When misery turns to hope. What marked God? Was it parting Red Seas? Was it these great victories over enemies in the Old Testament? What caused them to say, "Who has a God like our God?" Was it when the Red Sea parted? I don't read that as part of the narrative. Did they rejoice over the victory? Yes, they did. They actually said, "Our God is a man of war. He defeated our enemies." They were singing about his power over their enemies in their behalf. That's not telling you about his person. Only his power. What is it then? What is it that caused them to say, "Who?" What did they use to illustrate? Here it is in Micah 7 and verse 18. "Who is a God like unto thee?" Now you would think the next verse say, "Who parts Red Seas? Who sends angels and destroys armies? Who rains manna out of heaven? Who brings water out of the rock?" They never said that about him in any of those instances. So what did they say made him so unique that they would say, "Who has a God like our God? Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity?" Are you on the same page? That does what? What was the first incentive for David's dance? Bless the Lord, Psalm 103. Oh, my soul and all that's in me, bless His holy name. Yeah. Top shelf. Number one. Incentive to praise Him. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, bless His holy name, who forgives all thine iniquity. Then He heals your diseases. Then He delivers you from destruction. But it starts out with forgiving our sin, with restoring our soul. Hallelujah. Everybody say, we're forgiven. We should be dancing. We're forgiven. We should be praising. We're forgiven. We should have joy. Can you say amen? We're forgiven. We should never forget that our God is a God of grace and mercy. Who has a God like our God that pardons iniquity? He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And passes by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage. He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delights in mercy. He delights in mercy. David said, in light of this, he said, Lord, if Thou marked iniquity, if You marked sin, if You kept a record, put it down to hold it against us. There's not a man on this planet, me and the first in the line, there's who could stand. Can you say, man, who could stand? If You marked iniquity, who could stand? Glory be to God. I got to close. It's hard. We need a Bible study, so that we can just take line upon line, precept upon precept, because you need to know the person behind the cross. You need to know the person on the cross and the person behind the cross, and you need to know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Praise God. Who has a God like our God? This is old covenant. We have a new covenant, amen, established on better promises than these. I don't guess I'll read any further, because if I get over into the psalm. Everybody's not going to follow it. But I believe someday somebody in this room that's struggling with all of this, one of these days, it's going to drop from here to here. It's going to drop from here to here. Can you say amen? And when it drops from here to here, you're going to see it. Amen. And when you see it, it's going to change everything. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we praise You. We thank You. Oh, I got to read Psalm 173 in closing. Everybody say, it's in closing. I got to read it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. Top shelf, who forgives all thine iniquities. And then it opens the door for His blessings, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Who the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. It's not the parting of the Red Sea. It's the mercy of the God who parted it that Moses knew about, because he saw His goodness pass by. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. They saw His wonders. Moses knew His ways. Hallelujah. Praise God. And here's what it says. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Now, that doesn't mean a judgment will not come. He will not always chide. Neither will he keep his anger forever. But there's a space of repentance here. There's mercy offered. Can you say amen? Forgiveness is offered. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is his mercy to them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, and he remembered that we are dust. For as for a man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, and the wind passes over it, and is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. The mercy of the Lord is from ever. Oh, I want to back up to verse 10. I was about to forget it. This is where we want to stop. Verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Somebody say, woo-hoo. That's a woo-hoo moment right there. Woo-hoo! Terry, are you glad that he didn't deal with us according to our sins, but he pardoned our iniquities? Can you say amen? And he gave us mercy. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 For as far as the east is from the west, so far as he cast our sins from us. Hallelujah. In the New Testament, that is quoted as the crux of grace in the New Testament and what it accomplishes, and mercy. And he said, in their sins will I remember no more. The devil will bring up everything that you've ever done and throw it in your face to try to disqualify you from the reconciled relationship you now have with Christ. I'm going to tell you, you can defeat him by the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. And something begins to happen when the church gets back the joy of being saved. I remember when this man used to lay between the pews. I thought church was over, and I'm looking. I see Mike's grandmother sitting back there, and I'm looking for Mike. I don't see Mike anywhere. So I look up and down the altars. He's not in the altars. I think, well, he had to go to the bathroom, went out to get a drink. Amen. But I keep looking, and there's still no Mike. I go walking down the aisle. Everybody's leaving. Down in between the pews on the floor with tears dripping on that old wooden floor in the back of the Holy Church of God, there's Mike laying there. And those tears are coming and falling. Oh, I'm telling you, God is working a work. Amen. There sits his mama today. Glory to God. God is working a work. Amen. I baptized your brother this week at South Florida Baptist Hospital. I baptized him with a cup of water. Couldn't get him to the river. We brought the river to him. I took a bath towel and I wrapped it around his neck. Amen. And I talked to him about what baptism means and his profession of faith in Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And I baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ and of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Poured that water over his head, let it drip down on that towel, wiped him down. Praise God. Listen, who was in the room with you? Me and him and God. Just like the eunuch. Amen. 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 Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, me, you, and God can do it right here, right now. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Amen. And I told him something. I looked him in the eye and I said, William, I don't have any brothers or sisters in my physical family. My daddy's gone, my mama's gone, my uncles are gone, my aunts are gone. I said, but my family is growing. And I said, William, today, there's a brother right here in this room with me. You're my brother. And I'm your brother. And we got praying people. And we're praying for God to raise you up. Work a miracle in your life. He began to mouth something because there's a tracheotomy and there's a There's a tube going right here feeding oxygen so he can breathe. I couldn't hear him. I couldn't read his lips. So I said, God, you know, I'm trying to say it's okay. You don't have to say anything. It's okay. But he wanted to say something. So he pulled that tube loose, covered it. Now there's no oxygen. There's no breath. So for him to speak, it's like holding your breath to talk. And in that gravelly voice, he said, tell everybody I love them. I don't know his past. I don't need to know. Because I know if he received Jesus as his Savior, what has happened. Amen. Hallelujah. I do know one thing. We know we passed from death to life because we see the body of Christ as our brothers and sisters. We love the brethren. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. I got real close to going home September the 11th. I appreciate salvation. I appreciate his mercy. I'm glad he didn't deal with us according to our iniquities. I'm glad he is a merciful God. He will not hold his anger forever. Don't get me wrong. A day of judgment is coming. It's going to be very severe because such a great salvation has been flat out rejected. But it's not his will that any perish, but that all might have eternal life. And that is Jesus and him crucified. That is the message of Mount Calvary. That is the one that can melt the hardened heart and compel them to come in. Praise God. Would you stand to your feet today? How many people want this river of life? We used to sing it. There's a river of life flowing not just from God. There is a river that makes glad, the streams make glad the city of God. But there's a river of life flowing out from me. Made the lame to walk and the blind to see. Open prison doors and set the captive free. There's a river of life flowing out. Where did we get lyrics like that? Jesus said, speaking of the Holy Spirit when he comes out of your belly. If you got it, pat it. Sound pretty hollow to me. You're going to have to go eat the fat and drink the sweet in a minute. Sound like old watermelon ready to... Anyway. There's a... Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Can you say amen? God's base of operation is right inside each one of us as his children. I believe we get back the joy of salvation. Hallelujah. Start enjoying serving God again. People are going to pick up on it around us. Ask for a reason of the hope. And the moment they ask, that river is going to flow up and out. I believe compassion is going to return. Not just passion, but compassion. Can you say, man, is going to return. And people are going to feel the love of God through us. And I believe it's going to break down those barriers. And that light is going to flood the soul. Amen. The scripture said it. Jesus said it, and I believe it's true today. Amen. And I'm just looking. Listen, we're not vases to hold this water. Amen. We are pitchers. Everybody say we're pitchers to pour it out. Praise God. Would you like to rejoice before we leave? My great grandma said, you can't leave the table without something sweet to quit off on. So let's quit off on a victory song with brothers and sisters that have it flowing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.